Hey guys, welcome back to Real Podcast. I'm your host Kiki, and I'm here with the amazing Jessica Soto, but now Pastorino.
Yes,
because she's married.
Yes, married. New ish.
Right. So I'm introducing her, but I'm also gonna introduce a friend of ours who's upstairs chewing on a bone. His name is Champ, and it's their pet dog.
Yeah.
So don't mind him if you hear him. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through him too.
Yes. There we go. If he uses the donkeys, he could use Champ.
So I am really excited for this episode because this is a dear friend of mine. I've known you for a couple years now. Mm-hmm. I'd say, well, you actually came to CAVN in 2020?
Yes.
2021?
Yeah. 2020, yeah. I moved here literally I moved to this state in like the middle of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into that for sure.
Middle.
Great story.
Yes.
But yeah, so I was thinking about people who I would love to have on the podcast, and Jessica came to mind. I really wanted to get into a few things that I love her testimony. I love who she is. I love her ministration. She's an amazing worshiper. So we're definitely gonna get into that, but I just wanted to give a little intro on how the Lord, you know, just reminded me of people in my circle as well, people in, you know, my vicinity, and people who have poured into me and spoke life into me, and God has used. So Jessica was definitely one of them, so thank you.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, I just want you to introduce yourself and how you came to Massachusetts. Just kind of like your story a little bit, and then we'll get into everything else.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, but
right.
We'll do the Spark Note version. But it's funny when people ask me where I'm from. I'm like, it's a hard question for me to answer because I've kind of been everywhere. Yeah. And then people are like, oh, so you were military. I'm like, nope, military of the Lord.
True.
No, I just moved a lot, but I was born in Alaska. That's mm-hmm. the fun little fact. My parents are from Puerto Rico, and they were in Alaska in the 90s, and I was born there. We went back to Puerto Rico like shortly after. I was probably one. Mm-hmm. And then my parents, when I was younger, they ended up going their separate ways. So they were divorced, and my mom lost her mom, who was our primary caretaker. And so her dad was here in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And so this was around probably 2000, 2001. And so her dad was like, hey, you know, like our doors are open. Mm-hmm. If you need the help, like come bring the kids. And that's how I ended up here initially. Cool. So plot twist.
Wow.
At the age of 13, literally it was like crazy because I knew that I had been like that I was born in Alaska, but I knew nothing of it. I never visited. Didn't remember. So I end up back in Alaska, which is wild because one, I never thought, like, it's such a random place.
Yeah, it's so random.
Yeah, it's such a random place, and we're like from the tropics, so it's like even
very
the fact
opposite.
Yeah, the fact of thinking of like people from a tropical island there. So I end up there again, and I do middle school, high school, college. I start working there. I met the Lord there. A lot of things happen. And then around 2018, 2019, the Lord started kind of giving me the sentiment that it was time to like pick up and go on my own this time. So this wasn't like family. So that was very crazy because just for background, I'm the youngest of five. And if people watching are like the babies, they know like we're babies, even when we're adults, you know. So I was very, you know, like safe, like being around my siblings, being around like. So it was like a lot. Like I knew it was the Lord because it was not in my heart to move. And I never wanted to come back here. Yeah. Honestly, people would ask me all the time, would you go back to the East Coast? And I was like, no, definitely not. Yeah. And I was like, if I did, it wouldn't be Massachusetts. And lo and behold, here we are.
Here we are.
That's how the Lord works.
He does.
Many times. But so I ended up here in the dead of COVID. That's another story. But, you know, I asked the Lord, are you sure? Like, because, you know, I started feeling when the pandemic hit, nobody knew, you know, that kind of surfaced pretty quickly. And I was like, Lord, like I had been preparing for a year and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like I'm supposed to do this big move on my own. And now everything's going crazy. But I put it in prayer. And sure enough, the Lord shortly after in many different ways confirmed. And I was like, well, just gonna have to put my big girl pants on and I'm gonna just have to go to, you know, the unknown.
And your mom lived here already.
Yes, actually, yeah, that's a good note. My mom stayed here the whole time, so I was in Alaska with my dad. He ended up back there, and so it was only supposed to be a year and it turned out to be 12. So
wow.
Yeah it's a lot, but yeah, that's kind of how I ended up back here after moving a little bit.
So in Alaska you were in ministry.
Yes.
And you are also a pastor's kid too.
I am a pastor's kid. Woo. Yeah, so that's the fun.
I think that's actually how we kind of connected.
Yes.
I kind of remember that we were like in the hallway at CAV and it was like an event. Yeah. And you said something to me. I think that's how I really like initially had a conversation with you, because I had always seen you.
Yeah.
But I'm such a like shy person.
Yeah. It was COVID too. Yeah. So it was like we really couldn't even like talk that much. It was like
elbows.
Okay, worship the Lord and everybody go home. You know? Yeah. But I think we were actually in the office. I remember. Was it the office? I think it was
that area.
The meeting. Maybe we started, but I think it was like the morning meeting. Before service.
Maybe.
And we were just like there waiting for people, I think. Or something like that.
Yeah, it was something. And I remember you saying something to me because you were like, oh, yeah, I'm a PK too. And I was like, oh, no way. And that was kind of like our, hey.
Connecting point.
That's you. Yeah. Like,
I see you.
I know you.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
So then after that, you know, like most relationships and friendships, they kind of just like unfold and you don't really like notice when you kind of had that. But I think that was the first time that we ever talked, and you had said that you were a pastor's kid, so it was a little comforting because nobody ever understands, you know.
Yes,
absolutely. So how
it's a
was
very unique life.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how was that for you out there, as well as like being in ministry and also leaving that part? Because I know we've talked a little bit about it, but you know, there's always like depth to those type of stories. So
yeah, absolutely. So it was kind of interesting. My dad, he was always in the church. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he had his redemption story, but by the time I was born, he was worship leading. He was very involved in the church, had given his life fully to Jesus. So I always knew my dad as a minister, but he actually wasn't a pastor until I was 14. Mm. And the reason he ended up in Alaska is because the Lord called him to plant a church there.
Wow.
So it wasn't like, it's very unique because it wasn't just the concept of me being a pastor's kid, but I actually planted a church with my family and I was 14 at the time. So it's kind of like a prime, you know, like 14 is a
major.
Yeah, is the time where you're figuring things out, like you're, you know. And I got to Alaska in a very kind of like difficult, challenging season in my life, and so there was a lot there. And the Lord, I mean, I accepted Jesus as my savior at the age of 13. So I made it to Alaska. I started going to church again. I wasn't going to church. And something in me knew that I needed the Lord. I needed a savior. Yeah. And I always say, like, I accepted Jesus at the age of 13, but I feel like I didn't receive the gospel until I was 18.
Oh my God, that's the same thing with me.
Yeah.
Like, I got baptized at 13 and then when I was 18, it was like, okay, the Lord, now just, I really understand.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we'll maybe talk about that, but to answer your question, so I was here on vacation visiting my mom, and I knew, like, I had never imagined my dad as a pastor because he was just always like the worship leader, you know. Yeah. So I just,
and it's your dad, like,
yeah,
it's your parents. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was, you see them differently.
Yeah. And so I had heard, like, you know, kind of like God was like doing something in them at that time, and they had a friend who, you know, gave them a prophetic word, and he told them, hey, this is the time. So anyway, the point is, I was here on vacation and then I came back and they had planted a church.
Yeah.
So it was like, we were going to a whole another church. So it was, that's kind of where I started. And it wasn't like, not to call my dad out, but he was just like, yeah, so you're singing. And I was like, oh.
Okay, but it's always like that.
Yeah, it is.
It's always like
he was like, when you come back, you're going to sing. We started a church and I want you to sing. And I was like, okay. And so that's kind of what I did. And that's how it started. But we did everything from our first, like when we first planted the church, it was a barbershop we were doing our services at. Yeah. So, and this guy, he's my dad's barber, like the Lord really used him. He really wasn't this he was very rough around the edges, grew up on the streets, but he was like, he loved my dad and admired him. He's like, if you're starting a church, it needs to be here at my barbershop, like he told us. And the barbershop name was Genesis.
That's crazy.
Yes, it was the Genesis Barbershop. Yeah, so it was like, what in the world? Like, so anyway, that's why we started and we did everything. Like, I remember we would get there and we would have to like sweep the hair off the floor, clean the bathrooms, like, you know, and then set everything back up. And it was very unique, very humbling. And
yeah, for sure.
And yeah, you just see a lot, you experience a lot, and it just gives you a different, I think church planting gives you a different perspective to ministry.
100%.
It's not glamorous, honestly. Yeah. Like,
it's not like, I feel like, especially now in our culture currently, seeing, you know, a lot of mega churches and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that, you know, they all start from somewhere.
Yes.
Like you said.
Yeah.
But it's very different where a pastor can just come into that position rather than like starting literally from the ground up. I think, like you said, it's a humbling experience. You experience different things. You hear different voices, like other people. And it's not easy. No. And even with like my own parents and stuff, you know, they did take a role and like a position. So I didn't really experience from the ground up. I did see like going from, you know, a little church under like apartments now a huge church where there's like 300 plus members, but from the bottom is that's another like experience.
Yeah, because you're just like, what do we even do? Like, you really are just like leaning. It has its pros and cons because a part of you is like, what are you doing? But then that actually leads you to be like susceptible to the Spirit, and you're just like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, so it better be what God is doing and what the Holy Spirit's like moving us to. So
literally
there was a lot of that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So when it came to especially, I feel like when it's now your family, you're involved in a different way. Because there's not tons of leaders that take those roles. You're kind of stepping up as a leader at such a young age too, because you said you were like in your teens.
Yeah.
So I feel like, especially coming from somebody who understands like the idea of growing up sooner than you really should.
Yeah.
And I think, again, it has its pros and cons where, you know, you do mature a lot faster and you are, you know, exposed to things in the faith, but then you are exposed to certain things in the faith too. Yes. So, I mean, I remember like 13 years old seeing people being delivered and things like that, and it's just a different experience from somebody who now is coming into it at, you know, 20 years old, and they're seeing those type of things where it's like, it's just very different for people.
It's a different experience when you have like the capacity to kind of like know what it is before you see it, as opposed to I'm seeing something and I don't fully understand it at that time, you know.
Or,
you know, and that shows up in different ways, not even 100%. Just like the spiritual aspect, but like even seeing, you know, like things, ungodly things in the church, or people that, you know, are supposed to be like
the
Christ
people.
And aren't.
The
people basically seeing humanity at like firsthand. But like you said, it's actually, I feel like it's a blessing in disguise, because I learned to understand that ministers are people.
Yeah,
and that's important. I feel like a lot
humans.
Of people, we like tend to dehumanize people that God has chosen to lead in whatever capacity.
Yeah,
and it gave me, being a pastor's kid, knowing that, you know, like living with the
pastor.
Spiritual guide in my life at that time. You get like, you understand like humanity, and you understand like these are men and women who actually are just as much in need of God as we are, as the
100%.
People who, you know, oftentimes take from what they give, you know.
Yeah, so. And it's always like the perspective too of like you said, you know, you live with that person, so you see them from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, you still honor them in their position.
Yeah.
But I also know the human in you, because nobody else experienced that unless they're super close to you.
Yep.
So I think it's just always different for everybody, you know, people's experiences, especially pastors' kids or whatever it is. We always experience that sort of relationship differently from everybody else. And it's always so, I mean, growing up, it was so weird for me to see like people that are still maturing in their faith, like idolize those type of roles.
Yes.
So it was just so weird to me, because I'm like, he's just like you.
Yeah, just, literally.
Just different in your faith, or like more mature in his faith.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it would actually make me defensive sometimes, because I'm just like, stop. Like, yeah. He's a person and, like, you know, all like, right. Yeah. And it's just, like, I would get protective in terms of, like, get to know him as a person. Like, I think people become so obsessed with, like, people's gifts.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's not real, like, admiration if mm-hmm. you think about it, because it's like it's a whole person and you're only seeing one part of it and yeah. glorifying that part. And essentially sometimes we see like rejection of everything else that you are, like
yeah.
you can't not be perfect, you can't not be this mm-hmm. or all of a sudden
yep.
you know. So that was always like the thing where I was like, stop. And I was always protective of, like, you know, that too, like if I had to like tell, like, you know, my parents or somebody else, another leader, I'd be like, don't let it go to your head.
Yeah,
like relax. Pipe
down.
Yeah.
Like, bring down.
Don't because that's yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's a beautiful thing about being in ministry and seeing it. I feel like pastor's kids are always like the middle people. Like, you're always, there's just something yeah. about you experience ministry differently because you're seeing, you know, the leadership and you're seeing all that, but you're also seeing the people. Mm-hmm. So there's times where you will defend, you know, the leadership, but there's times you're going to defend the people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it's just, it's very hard to, I feel like, balance. Yeah. And like you were saying, you know, being at that age, yes. you're just exposed to things that most teenagers aren't.
Yeah.
And I think for me, yeah, you absorb so much. So I think for myself, growing up in high school and things like that, especially, it was so different because you're trying to balance, like, you also have a gift and you're also carrying something, mm-hmm. you know, but you're also trying to live normally. Like, yeah. there's always this, I feel like it's just so hard at that age because you're still trying to find yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't even like, you don't even know what you like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, oh, well, I'm a minister. Yeah.
Like, no, yeah, it is.
So it's hard true. Because I feel like at that time too, people also place like that identity on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't even know who I am.
Yeah, you're trying to figure it out. And you're trying to like, tell me what that's supposed
yeah,
to look like.
You're like, what am yeah. I doing? Like, I'm 12.
Were you like open about that? Like, did you feel weird telling people, like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, same. So weird.
Like, I was like, stop. I'm going to be that weird girl. I'm not telling anybody.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the thing for me too, is that I was friends with everybody mm-hmm. in the sense that I knew everybody, but I wasn't necessarily friends with you because I think especially too, at that age and you're exposed to certain things,
yes.
you like, I not too long ago, I think it was like towards the end of high school is when I really started seeing, okay, like I do have the gift of discernment, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that I carried that mm-hmm. at like 13, 14 years old. So I'm in high school and I'm discerning different spirits, but I don't know mm-hmm. that I'm doing that. It's yeah. just, I never really could stick with certain people.
Yeah.
And I was cool with everybody, but I didn't really have like a circle. So
that was literally me.
So it's a PK thing.
It is because you like have to, it's like you're saying, like you grow up in an environment that's very saturated in like being social, I guess. Yeah. So you're observing people all the time.
Yes.
And you're seeing things, yes. like you're seeing, oh, certain behaviors mm-hmm. end up in these kind of characters. And that, you know, yep. inevitably it makes you very, really what that is there's discernment, yep. but sometimes it becomes like a defense. And I think 100%. Too, as a pastor's kid, like nobody puts this, well, some people do, which is wrong, but you know, no, sometimes it's like an unspoken expectation that I have to maintain the like testimony of my parents.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you feel the weight of that responsibility yeah. all the time. And like, it's, that's what you're saying. It's a mm-hmm. wrestle because you're young and you just want to be a normal kid, but it's like, you can't, cause you're wrestling with like, I know that everything I do impacts.
Yeah. It's going to impact
people
yeah.
that, you know, like, so you, which is crazy because at 13, you really shouldn't be thinking about that, but you do, and that's what makes us aliens.
Literally.
What makes us very we're different. Yeah, yeah, very different.
But I think, and it's so hard too, because being at that age and having kind of, it's like you have a double life, but you're not living necessarily intentionally with a double life. It's mm-hmm. just, you're trying to be normal in school. Yeah. Plus, I have this type of like life at home.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, with, you know, having certain friends and kind of what you were touching on with like the defense and stuff, I think sometimes too it's like you tie those type of behaviors to things that you see. Mm-hmm. And in some way it's like you're again with the discernment, but it's also like some sort of like psychology there too, where mm-hmm. it's like I'm observing people's behaviors, I'm yeah. analyzing you, I'm yeah. I will say that that's one thing about me, and I was just talking about mm-hmm. this not too long ago with someone, but I'm very observant in yeah. every space that I enter into. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can be a plus, but it can also be very negative because then I'm over analyzing certain people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and I would say for me it was always too like a fear of vulnerability.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was actually exactly, and that's something that if I'd be lying if I said I still don't have to wrestle against that today.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you're friends with everyone, like you know how to be somebody's friend without letting them into your life.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
you know how to like, you know, make yeah. it about them and talk about them and pray for their things, but like I don't want to let anybody yeah. into this, because it's just like
it's so true.
Yeah.
And I feel like growing up too, you end up having very limited friends. Like I literally have like 3 friends
yeah.
that I can really like mm-hmm. you know everything about me.
Yeah.
Because
that's a blessing.
At that age you're just, and just growing up in general, like you don't really know what to share with who. And then on top of that, sometimes I felt like for me mm-hmm. there was like this pressure of being friends with people who like we just aren't friends, like we're not
yeah we
connecting.
Don't click yeah. yeah yeah yeah.
And it's just this pressure of like, oh, the pastor's daughter has to be friends with everybody.
Oh,
like,
wow,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't that I didn't want friends,
no
but I don't need to be in every circle.
No.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that some people have that perspective of like I was saying, that I kind of like putting those families on like these pedestals,
mm-hmm.
where now you have to have that same like personality, and you have to like kind of just fit to how they make you out to be.
Yeah.
And it can sometimes be like very harmful for somebody who's still growing up.
Yeah.
So I've seen that even like with myself or my sister and stuff like that, mm-hmm. where we're just very closed to the emotions, and well, not in that sense, but like more of just sharing them and being yeah. vulnerable, like what you were saying.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I think you see things and you just know, like you start to realize at an early age that not everybody's safe.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yes.
And it's like, so it's like you're
not
always...
Not every safe space is a safe space.
Yeah, like, exactly. So you're always like overanalyzing, like, is this person actually safe? Are they just pretending? Are they just, you know, yeah. after some time, is it going to end up like, you know, XYZ
person? And
then when it
does...
Yes.
You're like, okay, I was right.
Yeah.
So then
you're like, well, now I'm never going to talk.
Yeah. You carry that idea yeah. in like every friendship mm-hmm. and every encounter with someone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it would even pour into like relationships, like mm-hmm. dating, where now I'm like, I'm observing you, because are you going to leave too?
Yes.
And I think that was something that I had struggled with for such a long time, was thinking everybody leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Because being in ministry, being in that type of position,
yes.
it feels like a revolving door. Where yep. people come into the church and people leave. People mm-hmm. come into the church. So then when it is carried into, like, your personal life, it's like, I have now this idea that this is just how life
it's
works.
A ticking bomb. You're just, like, waiting. You're like, okay, how long until you decide? Yeah. Or you see something in me that you're going to say, like, is not, yeah. like, worth staying, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that even now I still find myself, like, feeling that way with certain things and relationships and mm-hmm. stuff. But I know that really when I decided to like give my life to Christ and seeing, you know, the relationship from a different perspective, mm-hmm. now I'm seeing, okay, like I don't need to always think like that. And there are yeah. some people that, yes, they don't have good intentions, but
yeah.
then there's some people who it's like, you know, those relationships ended because of the will of God for you. Like, it's not necessarily yeah. because they're horrible people.
No.
And I think that's where the beauty of just like seeing people the way Christ sees us.
Yes.
Because
I was just gonna say that.
You're not seeing them from who they necessarily are.
Yeah. Well, you stop also, like, when you surrender your life to Christ and you want to be like him, you stop, like, making it about what people can can or can't, or whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to go. Like, you know, like, we can't forget that, like, within the disciples, it was a Judas.
Yeah.
And Jesus walked with him.
And there will always be.
There will always, you know, there will always be. And it's still, Judas had a purpose.
Yeah.
And he was there, yeah, and Jesus knew exactly who he was, but mm-hmm. he had a purpose, and it didn't change the way that Jesus communed with his disciples, because I think when you live by purpose, mm-hmm. you know that nothing, who you are or what you can do or what you can't do or whether you go or whether you stay, it's like, it doesn't change like my nature, and it doesn't change like what God has called me to do as a, his follower, and as somebody who has like the spirit in them, you know. And I think that's too, like, everybody will get to that point. Like, God knows, and you know, he'll work with that area in our life, but you get to a point where you start to see it. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, like, actually this isn't about like me. And it's like, I always hear there was like a term or like a saying, a phrase, somebody says, like, you're only able to love as much as you're willing to risk. Like, and so loving people is like a risk. You have everything to lose when you open yourself up to somebody, but like, it's also necessary. It's like the one thing that you're like most afraid of is what will heal that part of you.
Exactly.
Because it's like, I struggled with that too. And I got to my early 20s and I had literally no friends. And I just started going into this spiraling, like, I was like, oh my God, like,
I'm horrible.
I was like, I have nobody. Like, but I realized it was because I didn't let people in. Yeah. I didn't let people in. And I just was like, but you know, in that healing process, it was like the Lord created us to be in community, like real community, not I'm going to go on a Sunday and then I'm just going to, oh, hallelujah, glory, go home. Nobody knows. You don't feel known. You don't feel seen. You don't, you know, and inevitably that same sense transfers into like how you see God and how you relate to him. And you're just like, feel like God knows everything about you. He knows every single hair in your head, but it starts to feel like, wait, like, do you, you know, because that
you're like, wait,
that's how we see people.
Am I horrible? Like, am I a horrible human being?
No, but the Lord, you know, the Lord is gracious.
Yeah. I think too, like,
leading us into that.
For sure. I think that sometimes in that same like mindset, we tend to think like relationships are transactional. Mm-hmm. Especially, I think growing up seeing that too, at least for me.
Yes.
Seeing like my parents give, and then now you, like, now people want to serve, or like now people want to do something, and it's like, this isn't a transactional relationship between us. It's like, you have to understand what ministry looks like and also what serving is, and you know, it's not for us. Mm-mm. Like, I promise you, if that were the case, my parents probably wouldn't be pastors, because
nobody would like, would. I want to be a pastor because you're gonna give, and the reward is Jesus.
Exactly.
It's actually nothing that you're gonna get from people back.
So I think that growing up seeing that transactional behavior between people and through experiences, you kind of start to feel like, or it kind of just bleeds onto you a little bit, where it's like, okay, if this person's not gonna pour into me, then you know, it is what it is. And I think that it was really unhealthy for me, and it wasn't until like not too long ago where I started to understand that concept of like, it's not about you giving and receiving. That's what unconditional love is. When he talks about that in 1 Corinthians, like, it's not, it's without, you know, gain. So
there's always balance too, though, because people, because like, you need both. Like, there's gonna be friendships you have where you are the
100%
the one that pours in, 100%. But then you also need relationships where you can, either you're the one that's getting poured into, or you could both pour into each other.
But I think there's also, like, when it comes to that, I think that it, you can still, even when you're pouring into somebody, you can still receive from that person. It may not necessarily be them speaking life into you, but the Lord might use their experience to speak to you. So I feel like when it comes to now being in a healthy relationship, that's different. Like, now it's like, okay, this is just not good for me at all. And it's like affecting my mental health, or it's affecting me as a person and me as a woman of God. And, you know, that's different. But I think what you're saying, like, so true. You definitely are going to have different forms of relationships, different types of experiences with people. I think for the most part, a lot of pastors' kids eventually end up just having like really small circles. And I think that's fine because like sometimes having a big crowd is not always fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quality over quantity.
100%.
Honestly. And the older you get, the more you're like comfortable with that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Because it's like, why do I need all these people to keep up with when, you know, some of them truthfully are not like aligned to your purpose. And that's not a bad thing. It's not to say they're bad people or they're less godly. It's just they're not aligning. And so anything that doesn't align to where God's taking you, you're going to start to feel a resistance at some point. You're going to start to feel like, oh, I'm trying to like move toward what the Lord's calling me to do. And I feel like it's like very taxing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could just be situations or, you know, people, or it could be different things, but you know, in this case, we're talking about people.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So even when it comes to like ministry too, and I was, you know, like circle back to this, but when you were leaving Alaska, how did that affect you? I remember having this conversation and you said something specifically that I was like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
But
I think I know what you're saying. Hopefully I say it. You just tell me if that wasn't it.
I got you. Yeah. So that transition of like, okay, the Lord's taking me somewhere else, but how do I, especially, and I'm trying to like bring this like whole point, but especially when you already are in ministry and you still want to honor your father physically here on earth.
Yeah.
But you're also honoring that father.
Mm-hmm.
How did that like affect you, and where was that like tug and that pull of like, okay, God, like I hear you, but like this is hard.
Yeah. Okay. That there's a lot there. It's very real. I want to say, honestly, that was my biggest, that was the hardest thing, honestly. Like I loved, well, the first thing, like, I guess for context in this story here, for those listening, like the church wasn't large. It was a very small church. Even a few years in, you know, we weren't like, we, I don't think, while I was there, it was ever over like 70, a 70 person congregation. And that had to do with different things. Like, first of all, Alaska is hard, a hard place to do ministry. It's a very, very challenging place to live for people psychologically, for different, like just the elements really makes it really hard. And, also additionally, we had like a lot of, we were close to like the military base. So it was a lot of military families. So literally like the revolve, like you were saying, revolving door, and the Lord actually gave our church that prophetic word, and he was like, you guys are going to be like a revolving door. People are going to come, you're going to edify them, and they're going to go. And that's exactly how it was. It was so many military families that would come 2, 3, 5 years, then they would go somewhere else.
It's a positive thing too,
because
I was saying it in the context of like, you know, people come in and out, and you see that perspective, but there also is a positive thing about that, because Lord also calls us to be sent out.
Yes, absolutely.
There will be people in ministry where positively they'll come in, there'll
be people that leave mad, and some people will leave blessed.
So I think seeing it that way, I think I got older and I started seeing, okay, no, there are people who are going to be sent out, and there's going to be people who are going to be just mad about anything, and they're just going to go, and Lord be with you, you know what I'm saying?
He'll still work with you, but you know,
so
So anyway, like that being said, I felt the pressure. I did a lot, you know, and I knew, I mean, when you're a pastor's kid, you know the things that burden your pastors, you know their worries, you know the things that they hurt about, that they pray about, you know, like the amount of work and the lack of workers, you know, the amount of people that want to sit and consume and not give, you know, and you know, you were talking about transactions and just like the entitlement of like, okay, well, I do this one little thing, but now you have to give me everything you are, or, you know, you have to be there for me 24/7 or, but, so anyway, there was that weight, and that was probably one of the biggest reasons it was hard to leave. And I was praying about it and praying about it, and I was like, Lord, are you sure? Like, you know, I was struggling because there's this concept, and now I like cringe when I hear it, but like, maybe, I don't know if this is just a Hispanic church thing, but like they would call certain people that held like big spaces in leadership the pillars of the church.
Yes.
Like,
I know exactly.
You know, this person is like a pillar in the church. Yes. They're like holding the church together, holding it up. Otherwise, like, you know, a pillar, if you like knock it down,
it's gonna crumble.
The structure crumbles. It actually needs you know, the pillar has to be there to like balance the, so it's like it collapses. And they, so yeah, just saying it out loud, you're like, wow, that's like, you know, if you're somebody that's mature in the faith, you realize like that's really actually that's not so a wrong. Spot that any human being holds.
I don't even think that's like in the Bible.
It's not. I don't know. To be honest, I can't say completely it's not. Maybe. But I don't think the concept of how people use it is biblical. Yes, I don't know if there's like some kind of if the actual word is in there in some way. But anyway, the point is that's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, I'm a pillar in the church. Like, that's, you know, I wasn't saying it in a prideful way, but I was so worried of what would happen if I left and stopped doing it. And I was like thinking about this and praying about it. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he was like, Jessica, it was like so humbling. Like, he's so gracious, mm-hmm. but he will correct you in his holiness because he's both gracious and holy and sovereign. And he was like, Jessica, I am the good shepherd. Like, you are not the shepherd of the church. You are not the pillar of the congregation. Like, I sustain the church, like, by my spirit. Like, it's me. I'm holding the church. Like, it's you leaving? You. Yeah, it's never, like, it's like, they're still in the palm of my hand. Like, I'm still the good shepherd. And it was, like, humbling but relieving. I literally could take a sigh of relief. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, at first, I was, like, embarrassed. I'm like, oh, my God, Lord. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm like, you're right. I'm not this, like, you know. And it wasn't, I don't think it was coming from a prideful place, but it was coming from a human place and not a spiritual place. Mm-hmm. And God had to realign me. And I, you know, I realized, I'm like, this is the Lord's, like, church. This is not mine. Like, I can hold whatever space, whatever capacity, but he sustains this church. Like, he's the good shepherd. He's the one that's leading them where he planned them to be, you know. And when your time is up, your time is up, you know. So I was able to kind of rest in that the Lord, like, was doing the work in me and in them. And he, you know, it went further. Like, it wasn't just something he said, but I had a few things that I was like, I'll know if it's you if these things
occur.
Yeah. And one of the things is I was leading the worship team at that time, and I was like, I am not gonna leave them without a leader. Like, I'm not just gonna be like, okay guys, see you later, and figure it out. Like, I was like, I just don't think, you know. And I said that to the Lord because I knew that was his heart, not because I was out here trying to challenge him, but I was like, I need to know, like, if this is you, you're gonna bring. And like, at that time I was looking around, I'm like, there's nobody that would want this.
And I think, you know what, tapping a little bit into that, it's very difficult because you're at such a young age, you're being formed into a leader, and you have these like leadership qualities, and coming from, you know, sometimes a smaller environment, smaller church, you don't really see a massive increase of like leaders because everybody's kind of just like depending on those who already are.
Yes.
So
that's a whole other comment. Like, don't get me started there.
Yeah.
So unhealthy.
It's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because you yourself limit yourself.
Yes.
And I feel like it's always funny because it's like people always ask, like, Lord, you know, shape me and mold me and like use me. And then when God's like, okay, I need you to like work in leadership and I need you to like actually develop leadership qualities, people are like, oh no, I don't want leadership. I don't want to be the face. So like going to what you were saying, it's really hard like being okay with not being in that position anymore, especially with sometimes seeing, okay God, like who else, like who is it gonna be?
It definitely wasn't hard for me. I wasn't there because I wanted to. Let me tell you, I'm not one of those people where I'm like, I want to lead this.
Yeah.
I never had.
One ever is.
No, nobody like, ever is. But I didn't want to burden somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want somebody to take it and be like, oh, okay, well, I guess I have to take this. Like, you know, I wanted it to come from their heart.
Yeah.
And it did. It was like random. Like, I was finishing my last year of college, and it was obviously a very large workload. So I asked my dad, I'm like, hey, do you think you can pitch in like and lead for a few weeks while I finish my last, like, I think I had like 2 months left and I just had a lot. And I was like, can you kind of help? Because I was literally leading worship every Sunday. Wow. Like, it wasn't, I know, it's like funny because like now I'm in a bigger church and people are like, oh, 3 weeks in a row or something. And it's like, yeah, I did like 5 years.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I'm like, no, but I mean, to each their own. Anyway, it shaped me. It shaped me for sure. But, you know, I was like, hey, like, it's getting increasingly difficult. So, can you guys handle this? Yeah. And I had one of the, and there's like five of us in the team. Like, mm-hmm. mind you, it's very small.
Yeah.
And one of my dear friends who was on the team with me, and he wrote to, he like, I remember randomly I'm at work and he texted me this whole paragraph and he was like, Jessica, like, and mind you, I never asked anybody to take on
yeah.
the role. Like, I was just like, hey, can somebody help for yeah. the next 2 months until I graduate so I can focus on school? And he like sends me this whole paragraph of like, the Lord's been working in my heart. Nobody knew I was planning to move at this point. I should wow, actually say that. It's very important. Crazy. I kept that to myself for a year and I just prayed about it because I was like, I can't have people speak it. Like, I already knew people that love me are going to be like, please don't go. Like,
of course.
So I was like, I can't do that. I need mm-hmm. to just hear the Lord. You know, I told maybe one or two people I trusted that I knew would be impartial and they prayed with me. I didn't say like, what do you think? I was like, pray with me.
Yeah.
This is how I feel. And I just need to hear the Lord. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the point is that nobody knew I was leaving. And he randomly sends me this message telling me, Jessica, the Lord has been working in my heart. He's been really calling me, I think, to step into this like leadership role. He's like, I've been afraid of it. I've been scared of it. But I feel like the Lord has been calling me into this. And I want you to know that like I'm available. And I was like, what? Like, I'm like,
that's crazy.
I didn't even have to ask anybody. It was crazy. Like, he's
yeah, like God just brought him.
He's talking to me about like leading the team while I'm the leader, you know, yeah. which to some people would be like, how dare you, like, you know. But I'm just like, that's what I've been praying for, like yeah. and I didn't know. I was like, God, I don't know who in this team would be willing, because I knew his heart and I knew he didn't want that.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, while the Lord's working with me in this, he's working with this guy, and the guy tells me, hey, this is what the Lord's been putting in my heart, and I want you to know that if you want to transition out, like, the Lord's preparing okay. me for this. Yeah.
That's
it
crazy.
Was wild.
That's very rare.
It was very that's rare. That's how you knew it was the Lord. I was like, okay, Lord, you're obviously kicking me out at this point. So.
Tell me to go.
Yeah, okay. I was like, I was definitely paranoid. I was like, am I making the right decision? Am I yeah. crazy? Am I not? Like, so, yeah.
I think, too, because you just don't want to make the wrong decision and then have to, like, come back.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
It's always awkward.
Well, to be honest, I really was. At that point, you know, I was a little more mature in my faith, and I just really wanted yeah. to honor the Lord. I was like, Lord, is this really something you want? Like, am I going to yeah. ruin your plans by moving? Like, is this? So, you know, I guess that was kind of immature because it's like I knew it. I just kept.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Yeah, exactly. And so, but yeah. And then there was the weight of leaving, like, you know, my mm-hmm. parents to do it. And I knew they had so much on their plates. So
yeah.
It's crazy, but like you feel a sense of guilt and you feel like it's selfish. You know, like you're like, oh my gosh, like I know they have so much on their plates and I can help them and I'm choosing to leave. But
yeah.
like I said, I didn't tell anybody about it and I just prayed, and by the time I brought it to my parents, I had a good feeling, you know. And I told them, hey, this is what I'm feeling, pray for me. And I think that luckily I, you know, my parents are pretty level-headed and spiritually mature, and they were obviously yeah. distraught internally. I could tell they were just trying not to, you know.
I was gonna ask that.
Yeah,
you know, they're also like hearing from the Lord, so were they
yeah
like
yeah
okay
yeah they and my, you know, they were visibly like, oh, like, you know, it was like a blow, like
they're like, oh,
they lost their breath a little. But my dad, you know, he told me, he's like, Jessica, I trust, like, I have seen the fruit of your life, and I trust yeah. that you are mature enough in the spirit to know, like, if this is really what the Lord's putting in your heart. And he's like, we're gonna pray, but I trust yeah. that you heard from the Lord, that if you're telling me that that's, and they knew me too. They knew how like attached I was. Like,
yeah, it just came out of like rebellion or like
no,
anything like that.
It came out of nowhere. I just started, you just feel it. Like, I was like, there's nothing wrong. Nobody did anything to me. I'm not upset. I love this church.
Yeah, you're not leaving emotionally.
Yeah. You don't leave emotionally, but you feel it. You feel the disconnect. Like, you feel like I'm the puzzle piece that doesn't fit. And yeah. not because I'm better or worse, but it's just the time.
Yeah,
the Lord's just letting you know, like, hey, it's mm-hmm. time to transition out. So.
And I think sometimes too, because I've shared this before on here, of like, I was doing the youth ministry, worship mm-hmm. in 2023 is when God was like, okay. And it, again, the same feeling. It's like, okay, I'm like in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You start feeling like,
yeah,
I'm in the way. Mm-hmm. I need to move.
Mm-hmm.
And something that God had spoke to me in that time, because I kept asking the Lord, I'm like, God, I'm doing too much. Like, I'm doing so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started feeling that overwhelming feeling, and my spiritual life wasn't where it should have been.
Yeah.
So I was just praying about it. And I was like, God, I don't know what to let go of. And at that time, you know, I was in media. So I'm like, God, I don't know what
typical you want pastor me to... kid traits.
Absolutely.
In everything.
So I was like, God, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I'm doing a lot, and I mm-hmm. really want to focus on my relationship with you, because I felt like that was just like decreasing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, because it is, if you're doing too much and you're not taking the time,
it's not healthy
to draw from the place yeah. that gives you the strength
yeah.
to do it. And yeah, and it, like you, what can you impart if it's exactly. not in you, like, and exactly. if you're not taking the time to like fill yourself up with mm-hmm. the Lord, the word, like,
yeah,
you know, communion, because you're human and your human strength will only take you so far.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah,
so I was like, God, I don't know what I want to like leave, like, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And at the time I'm thinking like, oh, media, it's just, you know, it's fine, anybody could pick that up, like mm-hmm. it's fine, like I love worship, you know. Yeah. I'm like, God, no, it's fine. And
she's a great worship leader too. If you guys didn't know, among a lot of other great things she does, but
I was like, God, you know, I don't know what to do. I went to Texas mm-hmm. and the Lord spoke to me that entire trip.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I was like, it's worship, isn't it?
You're like, dang it.
Like, darn it.
Yeah, of all the things, I was hoping that was
God,
the one.
Not
yeah.
that one.
Yeah.
So I came back and I prayed on it a little bit more, and then I spoke with the youth pastors, I spoke with my parents, and I was like, hey, you know, God's calling me out of this, mm-hmm. and it's just a transition.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after, they gave me the director's position of the media team.
Yeah.
But at that time, I remember God speaking to me, and he said to me, you know, your obedience is going to be somebody else's blessing.
Hmm.
And that like really impacted me, because sometimes you don't realize as a leader, sometimes you're in the way of somebody else's like growth.
Yeah.
And once I did that, there was so many people who did step up in their leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it, saying that in like a humble way, where it was yeah. like, oh, it wasn't because of me. No, it was literally the Lord saying like, it's your time. I'm going to transition you into yeah. another position, because, you know, I'm going to work here and use you.
Yeah.
But I need to also work in other people.
Yes.
And absolutely. When your hands are in too many things, sometimes you're in the way of other yeah. people.
Yeah.
So
that's the truth.
When I got into the media, you know, I was just like talking about this, but like being a creative, mm-hmm. sometimes it's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you do so many things, but you're like, okay, God, where do you want me to go? Mm-hmm. Because there's too many things that I can do.
Yeah.
And that's
one thing I have to say, just a quick side note. Mm-hmm. I have learned with time and maturity that just because you can do it doesn't mean you yes. should. That yes. is a very yes. valuable yes. principle. If you're doing anything in any space, but especially in church leadership, having the humility, like you just said, to know the humility and the obedience to the Lord yeah. to know that just because I can do it doesn't mean you're calling me to
absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just saw a post that it said, just because the door is open doesn't mean that that was the door God opened for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. So I had to take some things into prayer at that time, especially.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, God, what do you want? And once I was in the media, I started in media just to help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was not,
okay, where are you?
God, I want yeah. this role. Like, please, God, no. Like, I didn't want that.
Yeah.
And it's when you don't want it that the Lord's like, no, this is what I have for you right
every
now.
Every single time.
So
just so you know, I was coming here and I was like, yeah, so like my worship leading days are over, like the Lord's calling me to something new, and
it's always like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I was just like praying about things, and then a couple months after, mind you, at this time too, I'm not employed by anybody, because mm-hmm. I believe it was the summer of 2022 that I was like literally taken out of working for like a 9-to-5 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I call them secular jobs, because like ministry and yeah, like working yeah, yeah. for ministry and then like outside
yeah,
world,
know the difference,
so different.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But, is, yeah. So I, my secular job, I ended up like, God kept telling me it's time, it's time, it's time. And I'm like, okay, but what am I gonna do?
You're like, but I need to eat.
I need to pay bills. So that's when I picked up photography full time because I was doing it part time like in college and all that stuff. And I picked up photography and I went full force. The worship stuff happened, and then the middle of the summer, because it was like June 2023, is when God opened that door for me to be able to work part time in ministry. So doing all that, it was like it's definitely a big transition, because you're kind of now it's like, okay, now I'm working for ministry, so how do I keep this boundaries and like certain things, because how do I not like overcross certain things where it's like, all right, now this is work and then this is ministry and like it's so different. But
I don't envy you. I'm sure that it's very hard. It's I can't imagine. Sometimes, sometimes I'm like, you know what? It's okay. I get the secular job's easier. Like, I could just be businesswoman, Jessica.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, not that. Okay. Don't take us the wrong way. We're not out here saying go be somebody else in the world. But it is different, because it's like you were, it's almost the same as like what we were talking about, our parents being pastors. It's like they're just certain people see you in a different light and they don't know when to say, okay, this is Kiki, maybe PK, maybe my friend, versus this is my leader, this is my director, this or is this my... is somebody I'm working together with to get, you know, to meet a goal.
So it's been 2 years now, which is crazy, like it flies by, but definitely have learned those skills of like keeping boundaries, keeping these friendships, but now I'm like, I'm your leader as well, but we're friends.
And like I still want to hang out after I correct you.
So it's definitely hard and challenging, especially I'm only 23. So
I get that. I was a young leader. I was the youngest on the team, so I get that. I don't know if that's the case for you, but it felt so out of place.
In the large scale leadership, I am the youngest. So it's like these big leadership meetings, everybody's over 30. And I'm the youngest.
I know that feeling.
So it's very challenging. I mean, everybody around you has families and they're married, and and you're absorbing and you're learning all these things from all these people. And I love our leaders. I mean, they're great people. They're basically family at that point too. But it's very interesting and challenging because you're kind of just, where do I fit?
Absolutely. That's so real. And I don't know, too, like, in our culture, it's not, like, in our culture, if you're the younger one, like, you just do whoever the oldest person in the room is the one you, like. Like, you don't have the, at least, I was the youngest of five, and it was, like, everybody was my parent. Like, I had to do what any of my siblings said. Like, in our culture, it's very common that it's, like, the young people, you pay respects to the elders. And a lot of times that looks like, a lot of times that looks like you just, you don't have a say. It's like, you know what I mean? And so when God puts you in a position like that, it's so countercultural. At least it was for me. And I was like, I felt out of place. Like, I was like, I don't even feel like I can correct. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, but I'm sure, you know, I'm sure David felt the same.
Yeah.
When out of the lineup, the Lord was like, no, actually, it's not the oldest, the strongest, the most skilled. It's you. It's the one that society says that is not fit for the job, but that's how the Lord like works. Like, cause he knows, you know, he knows the heart, and that's important to note too, that it's really like, you're gifted and you have skills, but it's what the Lord looks at is the heart. Like, he knows the people that will be surrendered to him. And it's like, you can have all the skill in the world, but in ministry, that's not, you know, when you're serving the Lord and you're serving the body, it's not the essential. Like, you know, the Bible says that he chooses the foolish to shame the wise and the lowly, you know, of the world, the most despised. It's like, that's how the Lord works. Like, he's like, I'm going to choose the people that, despite their background, their skill set, how well they speak, their heart is mine. Like what he said of David, you know, a man after his own heart, you know? So that's where it's like, you have to keep that at the forefront of your mind of like,
absolutely,
you know, I'm here, and it might feel awkward, uncomfortable, and out of place sometimes, but it's not my doing. It's not my, you know, it is the Lord gives you those skills and the, you know, he'll give you the wisdom, but the balance of knowing I'm here because the Lord appointed me, you know, and having the balance of like knowing when to like exert like your voice as a leader and knowing when, like, actually I can learn from these people.
Absolutely.
And I have to fall back and listen to years, you know, wisdom that comes from experience. Yeah. Versus, you know, theory sometimes. Both are important. Yeah, but
absolutely. But knowing and I think, too, like, being... This is what I've found very challenging, too, is that, like, absolutely respecting and honoring that wisdom from years of experience. But then the balance of, like, okay, I am closest to, like, where this generation is.
Yeah.
So it's, like, there are things I know that you may not know. Yes, so, like, 100%. Learning in that opposite... The balance. The way, too, where it's, like, okay, but that may not work for the generation that's rising up.
Yeah.
That it worked maybe 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Because it's like wisdom versus tradition.
Exactly.
Like, are you trying to do this because it's actually better or because it's what you're used to and that's what worked with, you know.
With that time. And that again, time. It's what worked, but it may not work now. So.
It might not be the most effective. Yeah.
And in that time of like that transition of like, okay, God, where did you want me to go and what did you want me to do? I've always loved the youth ministry. Even when I was like 12 and I'm not even supposed to pre-youth. Be in here. But I was in like all those conferences and all that stuff at such a young age. I think again that ties into like your maturity and you see a lot. But I was always tied to like the youth in some way, shape, or form. And it wasn't until like the beginning of this year-ish, like May, where God was like, okay, this is time for a new transition. And I really needed to focus on school and finishing my degree and stuff. So I was praying about it for months. Like when I tell you this was like December of last year where I was like, okay, God, like in prayer. And he was like giving me it's that feeling of like I need to move. And so God really wanted me to focus on the young adults. And
which is so necessary. I was really excited to see when that like ministry was like birthed, because because I was in that space for so long. Like the church I grew up in, the one we planted, there was literally no youth. Like I'm not kidding, like it was like it's me and my brothers, like
a big jump.
So it was like I was just always with like older people, and I, you know, that's kind of how I, you know, became, I think, a little grandma in my own ways. But also
soul,
it's like
soul.
you get to like your 20s and it's like you're not like necessarily a youth, but then you're not all the way, you know, you're not
like a full-grown adult.
So you're just like there in this, like if you are in a congregation, you know, that might not have something for that specific age group, it does feel like you're just kind of there in a limbo, like
So in the beginning of last year, that's when God was like really speaking to me to start that. And I was like, okay, God, but I don't want to like, you know, just overstep or like do too much and stuff like that. But God kept just like pushing on it because I had seen such a large increase in young adult, but also like the need for that sort of community. Because there are certain conversations you just can't have around like 13, 14 year olds.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of do have to separate it in a sense where it's like, I could still be your big brother, big sister, but like there's conversations where you're not going to understand. So.
Or it's just not appropriate, you know, at this time, you know, like for you to like, you're just at literally completely different stages of like life. So there's stuff you're not even dealing with now that I am. You know,
so
I got to talk about it.
So I really was like, okay, God, let's do it. And it was a process, but. I saw the need for young adults necessarily, you know, in their 20s, finishing, I think it was really finishing high school, graduating, going into college, and then that transition of like some of my friends are married and have babies, and I'm 23 and I'm like not even engaged.
which is okay
yeah,
it is okay. I didn't get married till I was 29, everyone, so I really did the whole 20s just as single as a Pringle.
So it's just like that transition of like, it's okay where I am, I'm okay where I am, and I'm happy where I am, because I, not that it's a bad thing being my age and married and things like that, but I have seen as well where like sometimes what God wants to do through you, it's like sort of limited because now you're in this new season of your life. And it's not to say that like you can't still do it, but it's
very different.
It's true what they say when it's like, when my parents were like, enjoy your 20s and like do the things you need to do, get your degree and do all those things, because sometimes it's going to be like stopped. And now I'm seeing it. And I'm like, oh, wow, my parents were right. But
I mean, marriage at the end of the day is like, it's God's design, but we definitely glorify it in a way that's unhealthy and not biblical. Like, we forget, we totally omit the scripture where Paul's like, if you can not get married, don't do it. Because when you get married, you have to divide your time between, now you have to serve your husband or your wife, and you can't solely serve the Lord. But it's so glorified in our culture to be married and to have the family that it's just like, in our minds, we like go after that, and we don't see the benefit or even the blessing of being able to have the time to devote fully, like, to the Lord, and having to be okay with resting in that. Like, it might happen when it's hard, because, you know, you have the, for people who have the desire to be married and for a long time, and they have to wrestle with that, but also acknowledging, like, I'm never gonna get this, I'm never gonna be able to serve the Lord at this capacity again. Honestly, absolutely, you know? So
And it's funny, because like the, like you said, culture and all that stuff has played a huge role. And there was a time where I'm like, oh my God, like, everybody's getting married around me. And why am I still here? And God, is there something wrong with me? Like, am I horrible? Literally. And I was questioning myself. And it wasn't until recently that I'm like, you know, I still live with my parents. And I'm still doing what I have to do. I'm in school and all that stuff, and I'm redoing my room because I'm like, I'm okay being here. Because at first I was like, I'm not gonna paint my walls, or like, I'm not gonna do anything, because I'm gonna leave anyways.
I'm gonna go be independent.
And I mean, you know, God, like, you still hear me, but you know, I'm okay with where I am. So I like redid my room a little bit. I painted my walls. I'm like, I'm going to be here for a while. I can always take the stuff with me. Like, no, let me invest.
Healthy. Like, accepting, fully accepting the season that
that you're on.
Like, because it's like, the Lord knows, like, the times. Like, there's a season for everything, the Lord says. And it's like, knowing, like, it's okay, like you were saying, that I'm in the season that I'm in, and I'm going to do what I should be doing. Like, you know, when you look back at this season, you want to feel like, I did what I was supposed to do in that time. And I think that that's like, a lot of people like will say there's nothing wrong with young marriages. Both my, actually three of my siblings, my sister got married at 19, my brother was like 22 I think, or 23. They met in high school. Like, so for me it was kind of like that too. I was like, dang, I'm like 27, there's nobody in sight. I'm like, all of my siblings got married and they're like teens or early 20s, and I was like, wow, this is really, like, I was just ready to, I was like, all right, so I'm just gonna be like a nun and have the cats.
I always said that too.
Like, so I was like, this is just my portion.
I'll be the rich auntie.
Literally. Like, literally. But the Lord knows everything, and he
does.
You know, that was like my humanity, but a part of me knew, like, I was like, I know that, you know, in his time.
You'll,
like,
provide. If
in his time, and it's like, you go through experiences too where you're like, I'm so glad that it happened,
so
now
glad.
And not when, I mean, when I was 23, I wasn't nearly as, you know, I mean, I'm sure you have your struggles, but I was a hot mess. Like, I was like, if God would have given me anyone at that time, it would have just been destructive for them, destructive for me. And I was loving the Lord and serving him. It wasn't that I was like in sin or anything, but there was so many areas of my life that really needed healing before I could even step into that.
I'm still figuring certain things out too. I think, I think, being in a relationship too at this age, like, it's a challenge, but it's also like forming your character. And you can, because the thing with me is that, not that I ever, I mean, I'm saying this like in the best way possible, but like, I don't need to have someone to be satisfied. It's just like, the Lord brought you, and I'm happy you're here in my life, you know? And we're going to grow together and build together, but it's not like I was boy crazy or like, oh, I needed a boyfriend, you know? So I think that God did allow these relationships for me though, because if I wasn't, nothing would feel challenging for me. So like, I could just be in my own bubble and not grow. But some relationships, even friendships, even friendships, because there's some friendships that have challenged me in ways of like my character, where I probably wouldn't have gotten that if I was alone or didn't have friends. And it's weird because, you know, you don't really hear like those type of conversations. But I will say, like, being in a relationship at this age, very challenging because you're still learning, you're unlearning things. And
but it has its formation. It's a blessing. Like, it's not, that's another thing, is like, it's not a bad thing to be young and to, you know what I mean? It's like, everybody's different. Like, God knows what you're prepared and what you're not prepared for. You know what I mean? In every relationship, it's like, in his sovereignty, like, I was just having this conversation with someone. Nothing is, like, wasted. Like, that's the beautiful thing about, like, the Lord's grace, is, like, nothing is wasted. Even when we think, like, oh, it didn't, you know, pan out the way that, you know, like, a lot of people can say to themselves, like, oh, you know, like, think of it as a waste, or, like, nothing's wasted in the Lord. Yeah. Like, it's, like, truly the word is so absolute when it says that everything, not everything is good, but everything will work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Like, at the end of the day, we're human and we'll make some decisions that, you know, don't yield good results, and still God will use the not good result and turn it into something good that glorifies him. So, you know, there's, and I think we also, like, in our culture, church culture, but especially Hispanic church culture, dating is, like, so high stakes. Like, it's like, if I'm dating somebody, I, like, need to know within, like, the month if this is my husband or not. And it's, like, okay. Like, I'm also not an advocate, you know, to be honest, to, like, date for, like, 8 years. That's just me. But
me either.
But
me
also, either. Yeah, but also, I mean, it depends. Like, if you started dating at, like, 16, I get it.
Okay,
but,
that's different.
But if you're, like, 27 and you're, like, you know. Anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
No,
but,
it's true. It's true.
But also, it's, like, okay to, like, take your, like, there's a space for, like, healthy dating apart. If you're doing it in a godly way, it's, like, it could be healthy. Yeah. Like, it's not necessarily, you know.
I'm glad that, like, especially, like you said, the Hispanic culture is a little bit more invasive. And I'm glad that our ministry's not like that, where they're, like, all up in your business. But, you know, dating at that time and stuff like that, you're still trying to, like you said, you know, I do want to know if this is my husband.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah. But and it's the process of figuring
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in ministry for such a long time, you're such a, like, do and go type of person. Yeah. So when it came to, like, relationships for me, I was like, okay, is this it or not? Like,
is you trying to be married or
you trying to be, you know? Yeah. So for me, I just, it's usually like this, like, knowing, like, okay, I know.
Yeah.
But again, those relationships just, like, formed me and shaped parts of me that I wouldn't have gotten in other things. And I think that in this day and age where you said, like, marriage is glorified sometimes and it's not, and I think it's difficult too, because there's one where it's, like, outside culture, but then there's, like, church culture. And then you're seeing, like, people are bringing, like, the biblical standpoint of marriage, and but you're not trying to rush it.
Yeah.
So you just find yourself like, okay, dating is good.
Yeah.
But marriage is great. And like, where do I feel like I'm not being forced and rushed into something that may not be like from God?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think just those were a lot of the topics that we weren't necessarily touching on. And that's why I wanted to start with, like, the next gen. Because not just that, but even just, like, struggling in other things. Like, you know, kids going, I think something that I noticed the most was, like, kids graduating, going to college, and then forgetting about the Lord.
Yes.
Kids that grew up in the faith.
Oh, yeah. That's a big. And somebody, didn't somebody share a statistic on that? Yes. Wasn't it something crazy?
It was
like
it was like
80% or something.
Yeah,
or something. 70% of, like, young, like, kids who grew up in the faith, like, lose their faith in college or walk away from the faith. That was the word.
It was crazy. So crazy to me, and I was like, God, like, if we're the next generation, like, we cannot be the generation that also falls out.
Yeah.
So, I was like, God, I just, let's do it, and it's opened so many doors too, just for other people. But I mean, we've seen, like, such an increase in the young adults and just having that community, you know, it's not perfect. Like, it's a new ministry. Yeah, so like it's being formed, but you also see, like, the different personalities and different characters, and especially at that age, because you're leaving your high school days, but now you're becoming an adult and you're just seeing all these different types of, like, these young adults just forming,
transitioning. Forming. Yeah, it's, I want to say honestly, it's the hardest part of life.
Yeah,
your 20s are 100%. So hard. Like, people always say, like, oh, high school, people are finding themselves. High school's a breeze. Like, you're just, like, there existing.
Oh, my gosh.
And then all of a sudden you go from that to, like, I actually have to figure out, like, who I am in this world and make all these decisions that are going to affect the rest of my life. And you have all this pressure to conform or to be.
Figure it out.
Figure it out. Like, you're,
buy,
like,
a house and
or, like,
get a new car.
Exactly. There's just all this, like, comparison and insecurity. And, like, I really, I'm one of those people that honestly, I mean, it'll hit me at some point, but I'm just like, every year I get older, I'm like, this is the best. Yeah. Like, my early 20s, I was just a hot mess. So I was like, not fully enjoying and living life because I was just so worried and panicked and anxious about so many things that I didn't have to be. And I think it's, I don't want to say it's normal because, right, to a certain extent, it's like we should, you know, trust. And like, give a little more trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. Exactly. But, you know, it's, I think it's normal in that phase of your life to hit yourself, like, to not hit yourself, to be hit with those hard questions. Don't hit yourself. But yeah, so it's like, it's normal to, like, that's the season where you're really, like, you know, it's challenging. It's challenging, honestly. So I, like I said, I think it's great. And I think that it is it will make a big difference. I think that when we start being more intentional with people in that season of their life, and that intentionality doesn't look like, when are you going to be married and have kids? Like, it's actually like, hey, God has a purpose for you now where you're at, even in the areas you feel like you're not accomplished in. Like, know, even like, even if you're still like part-time school and you feel like you want to give more in church, but you can't, like, God still can use that. And he's still using you even like, you know, in whatever the space is. Like,
and it's like what you were saying, like, going back to when you were talking about, like, the pillars and stuff, like, there's other people who are going to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. Like, yeah, the Lord is going to do what he has to do in the ministry.
Yes.
And I think for myself, too, like, if I, which is so crazy, I'd be thinking about this and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, it's just even crazy to think of, like, eventually I'll be saying, like, yeah, my husband, like, so weird.
Yes. I know. It is. It's a very it's a weird transition. Yeah. But so it's going to be great.
Amen.
You're gonna love it. You're just gonna be dropping it all the time. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the mailman will come up. You're like, let me get my husband real quick.
But it's like, if I would have rushed that out of my own desire, like, feeling like, oh my God, everybody else is around me is doing it.
Yeah.
I promise you, like, I would probably not be in the position that I would be in, and this probably wouldn't even exist.
Wow. Yeah.
There's certain doors that are opening too that you kind of, you don't see until, like, after you get out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And just seeing that God opening doors, like, for this podcast, and just amazing things that I just never would have thought. You know, at the beginning of last year, I had a friend tell me, like, by the end of the year, because it was 2024, by the end of 2024, you're going to see why you didn't understand all these things that were occurring in your life, and you're going to understand them. And so just, like, seeing the fulfillment of that word, also, you're just like, okay, God, like, I trust you. And I know that even when I'm anxious and my humane part of me is like, oh my God, like, I need to figure it out and I need to do all these things, you still, you end up just, like, having to lean on God and be like, okay, I'm gonna be fine. God, please don't come yet. I'll be saying that.
We're still working on some things.
God, please don't come yet. Like, I'm still trying to figure
out. Just let me get married. I'm just kidding, no. Just let me have the wedding of my dreams. My Pinterest board come to life.
Let me have a family.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah. I get that. And I think, too, sorry, I have to get up. I know. I was like, I just need to reposition. I'm very, like, energetic and unstill. It's hard for me to sit still. So I'm trying. I was keeping in mind what you said about the mics. I'm like, don't.
No, you're good.
But I move a lot. Anyway, I was gonna say, that's another blessing that comes with getting older, is, like, the more life you live, the more you experience the faithfulness of God. So when something else comes, you're like, oh, he was already faithful here and here, and I already saw him come through here where I thought he wasn't, you know. And so it's like you start to kind of have those things under your spiritual belt.
In your belt,
and you're just like, oh, you know, I've seen this before. I've been in a situation where I thought, you know, it didn't make sense. And then later I saw the Lord's hand in it. So you start to kind of grow more comfortable with stretching your faith.
Yeah.
And like, I don't actually have to understand or have it figured out. Like, I'm starting to trust God. Because obviously it'd be like, there are things where we move by faith alone, but like, it gets easier. The longer you stay in, it gets easier to say, oh yeah, I've seen the Lord do much with little, you know, and now I'm just chilling. I'm like, oh yeah, you've done this before.
Yeah. And like, he's just always faithful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, to kind of circle back to you coming to Mass and stuff. How was that? Especially, how old were you? Like 20?
25, I think. Yeah, I yes, 25.
How was it at that time? Because like, I think of that and I'm like, oh my God, that's like not that far from me.
Yeah.
Being at that age and like having to transition like that from ministry. Yeah. And how was that at that time, at that age, being like the young adult, but you're adulting. Yeah. Like, how was that? Oh. Our buddy's
There's our friend. Hopefully he'll just go drink water. Oh Lord. I think he'll lay down, hopefully, but...
You can edit this out.
Okay. It's okay. They're a gift from God.
Yes. Yes. We love dogs. We're animal people here. Sorry to everybody who's cringing right now. But I swore I wasn't going to be this person. Like, I was like, animals are animals. Like, they're not children. And I'm like,
they're birth to him. I'm
scared. Children.
Spiritually. I'm just kidding. No, I do love him. He was my single girl dog. So yeah. I was living alone and he was my only
little... It's like a piece of you.
He was my roommate. That's what I would tell people. I have a roommate. Anyway. It was very scary. Very challenging. I feel like you definitely have, like, naturally, you're like the... You and I have this difference that you're the oldest and I'm the youngest in my family. So I feel like you naturally have, like, that independent, like, personality. Yeah. And I was not like that at all. Yeah, that's how, like, you know it was the Lord.
Rip me out.
Yeah. You're like, let me free. I'm good. And I'm just like, tell me what to do, please. I don't know. Give me everything. So I, you know, trusted the Lord. The Lord confirmed time and time again. I was totally scared out of my mind. But I guess, there's different phases. There's like, I'm a, you know, like a follower of Jesus Christ. So I was like, I want to find a church, you know, that is, and I was afraid of that. You know, I was like, I was afraid of, am I going to find a church where I feel
new,
like,
community,
family? Yeah. And then there were like the factors of like, I wanted to live on my own and my mom was here. So I literally, it's crazy how even this happened, like buying this house. It was like, I told the Lord, because I love my mom, but I was just so ready to not, to leave, to be on my own.
Because it's, I mean, when you're an adult, like, even with myself, I'm still, like, finding this where it's, like, I live with my parents, but, like, I'm an adult. So it's, like, where is that?
And like, you, like, love them, but, like, well, every parent-child relationship is different. But I always tell my friends, like, you know when it's time, when you, like, you both can't stand each other. Like, you love each other, but you're just, like, literally, like, I just don't want to see you every day. I just need at least, like, some space, you know, like, so, like, my, like, when I hear parents, or, sorry, friends that live with their parents, and they're just, like, complaining about their, and I was, like, oh, girl, you guys are gonna be best friends when you move out. Like, this is just a season. Yeah, like, I'm, like, when you move out, you're gonna find out that you actually like your parents a lot more.
My mom's gonna hear this. And you think, like, oh, that's
right. Yeah, but it's really all love. It's just, like, the natural human way of your psyche knows that it's time for you to. So, you know, I was, like, I told the Lord, I'm, like, 6 months. I'm going to live with my mom 6 months. And I really wanted to buy a house, but I was like, if I don't find a house, I'm going to rent an apartment, which I didn't want because I had been saving and I really was ready to just make that investment. Mm-hmm. But I was like, 6 months. So anyway, that's one factor. But it was just scary altogether, but it was exciting.
Yeah.
It was exciting. I think that I was going through kind of like, it was my early 20s and I was kind of going through this like identity crisis of like, who am I, you know? Yeah. And I was just always so like, I didn't have that natural independence that I just was so insecure. And there was this refreshing feeling of like, I'm like, I can move somewhere new and I'm going to be who I want to be. You know what I mean? Like, nobody here knows, like, I'm a pastor's kid.
Yeah.
Nobody here knows that, you know, I was afraid of X, Y, Z or, you know, what tendencies. You know what I mean? So it was like, this is a kind of a time where I can reinvent myself in a positive way. Mm-hmm. Like, I could actually become who I want to be here and I don't feel the pressure of who I used to be. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So that was, like, the most exciting part. But, yeah, there was a lot of fears of, like, is this going to work? You know what I mean? Am I going to find the church? And I had been following, you guys' church since I was mm-hmm. in Alaska.
That's crazy.
I know, and it's crazy. I didn't come here, and I didn't come here thinking I was gonna be on the worship team at all. Like, yeah. I kind of didn't want to. Like, I knew, you know, I loved doing it, but I was just, I had, you know, some wounds and some things 100%. That I was just like, I just want to lay low. Like, mm-hmm.
Always happens. We always to want everyone. To. We always want to lay low. When you're from like, leadership to like, I'm going to a new church.
Yeah.
Everybody always goes through that.
Yes.
Transition and phase.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I remember I'd be praying and I saw myself on the like platform at our church singing, and I was like, Lord, why? But it wasn't even like, I hadn't even said like, I'm going to this church.
Yeah.
There was actually, because that was another thing, is I grew up in the Hispanic American church, and I was like, I actually just want to speak English. I just want to worship lead in English, this whole interpreting. And it's like, no, look at where I'm at.
I feel that.
Yeah, and that's why I was following two churches. One was like an English speaking, and then it was our church that's bilingual. And yeah, I my first day at church, it was COVID. Everybody's wearing masks. I don't know anybody.
Hiding.
Yeah, literally. Nobody knows. I mean, maybe, but I don't think people really... It was easy to see who was new and who wasn't at that time. And it was actually limited capacity. So yeah. It was like, it wasn't even the whole church that was
separated.
There. Yeah. So the first time I went with my brother. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, like, I'm like, how intentional God is. The second time I went, like, he came and helped move me down. Mm-hmm. He's my best little friend. Hello, I love you. If you're watching this, that was another hard thing about leaving Alaska. Yeah. We are inseparable.
I think of that. Yeah. I even think of the idea. I'm like, oh my gosh, even like moving, even if it's down the street and not living under the same roof with my sister.
Yeah, like, it is. It's hard. My brother had already moved out. Like he's still in Alaska and he was living in Alaska, but he had his own place.
But yeah, now you're moving like
regions. Even the day he left the house, he was like moving down the street and I started crying. I'm like hugging him like I'm never going to see
him. I'd be like that too, though.
It's real. It's real. Yeah. So anyway, so I come back the next week and I'm by myself. And in the middle of worship, to this day, I don't know who this was. Like, mm-hmm. I can maybe try to, like, guess. I can narrow it down to maybe two people. But I have no idea who was. In the middle of worship, I'm sitting in, like, the third row in. And somebody from behind me comes. And it was a woman. And gives me, like, a prophetic word.
Really?
And, you know, tells me, like, the Lord is opening a door for you. You can walk in it. Because I was, like, I was unsure. I was, like, is this the place? Like, you know, I knew there was a family that I knew, we were childhood friends, and I knew they went to that church, and I would visit sometimes when I came for and vacation to see them.
Encounter happened at our church.
At our church. Wow. And I still, now I'm 5 years in, I know a lot of people at a church, and I don't know who it was who gave me this word. And it was like, not ministry. We hadn't even gotten to the preaching. We were literally on like the second song of the set, and I'm just worshiping. I'm not looking around, worried about, like, I'm sitting by myself. It's COVID. We weren't even supposed to be that close, but God bless the woman who broke the code for the Lord. But yeah, and I knew, I was like, this is it. The Lord, you know, he was really intentional to say that. And I, seeing the different seasons that our church has gone through, I started seeing it. I was like, I needed this church, and the church, not in like a prideful way, but the church needed someone like me, you know, and I needed the leadership of this house. I needed the word of this house. And so it was a very reciprocal.
Absolutely.
You know, and like, I felt like, wow, the Lord really took care of everything. And then with the other thing I was worried about was like living on my own, and I was looking for a house, and it was so hard. Like during mm-hmm. COVID, like it was really difficult to the housing market. And I was like, great.
Still is.
Yeah, it still is. But it was just, there was so much uncertainty in that time, like in our country when it came to, you know, like the economy. And so it was just very difficult. Like a lot of people were not, you know, it was just a very difficult time to buy or sell.
Yeah.
So anyway, I stopped after like 2 or 3 months. It was just very like disheartening. And I remember actually in Webster, I put an offer on a house mm-hmm. and somebody would just come and offer more and I would lose it. And so I was like, okay, I need space. I need time to just not. So I took some time off. I remember it was like getting closer to the holidays and I was like, I'm just going to focus on, you know, just mm-hmm. not being worried about that or anxious. And I'm coming up on the 6 year mark. I mean, 6 year, 6 month mark. Mm-hmm. Cause I got here in August, but I wasn't even like thinking, like I really gave it like a pause. And I told my realtor, I was like, hey, she was sending me stuff. And I was like, hey, let's just not, I'm going to take some time. I said, I'll let you know when you know, I'm ready to like get these again. And randomly my friend
sends me this house. And he's like, did you see this? Like, and I was like, what the heck? I was like, actually, I'm like, I kind of saw the house on like a listing before, but I didn't even pay attention to it. I was just like, whatever. Like, I didn't. And he was like, let's go see it. Like, he would always go with me to like go see houses. And so like, we came and saw it. And that was like early January, I think, which is right around this. And I was like, it's crazy because this house, it was horrifying. I had to like gut the whole house.
I was gonna say it's a very, I mean, obviously, like we were talking about before we even started recording, how like the houses here are like 2,000 years old.
Yes.
Like, yes, it's just a very East Coast thing up here, especially.
If you're from New England, you know, this house was literally built in 1890.
No, like, way.
Colonial. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's colonial. That
pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. And they had done very minimal work. It was like horrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, you definitely did stuff here.
The whole like house down here was gutted, like, which that was like the Lord, because Lord knows I only had like this much money and I was like, this is my faith. But I walked it and I don't know how, I just knew. And my mom was like, are you crazy? Like, this house is, and I was like, I don't know why, but, and I was not that person. I was not like, oh, HGTV, I love flipping houses. I didn't want to do that. I wanted a move-in ready house. And I walk into this crazy, like, rat-infested house at that time. And I was like, I don't know why, but this is the house.
Yeah.
And it was just like this. Like, by the end of January, it was March, but at the end of January, they called me and accepted my offer.
Yeah.
And then we started the closing process, and the 6-month mark. And I was and I wasn't even like looking for the house. It just like fell on my lap. And
God was like, here you go.
It was a blessing. Yeah. Because I was by myself. So it was like going to be hard. Like, my family's here. My church is here in the city. Like, it was going to be hard to be like super far by myself and then just drive in and be effective in what I was doing.
Yeah. And everything's like so far. When you start going out farther, everything just becomes far for you.
Yeah. So I knew, I was like, that was just like the Lord's little cherry on top of just reminding me, like, this really is where I called you to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that you know that this is where you need to be. So
it's crazy. It's like also saying, you know, when you like stop worrying about things and stop searching, that's when God like provides and that's when he answers.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes we'd be trying too hard. Yes. And the Lord's like, I got it. Yeah.
It's like doing things on our own.
Yeah.
Will and desire and what we want.
Yeah.
And when we like really just focus. Okay, yeah. Like,
discouraging ourselves. Like, sometimes like discouragement like is not even external. It's just me putting myself in the situation I know is gonna discourage me.
Literally.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I love this house. It's like such a cute home.
It's just my little, I have such an emotion. I was sharing, like you said, before we were recording this, like I have an emotional attachment to this house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I feel like I grew up here. Like, this was my first like independent moment in my life where like I learned how to cook cause I had no other choice.
No other options.
And the Lord just gave me a peace about it. Like, people would always ask me, cause I lived here by myself for so many years, like, oh, you don't get like scared like living alone? Like, you yes, let me tell you about Kiki and her. Yes, well, Kiki used to house sit for me when I traveled. I used to travel a lot for work, and she used to house sit for me, and I have this sliding door in my kitchen, and I love natural lighting, so the house is kind of small.
No curtains.
I want the light. I want all the light, and apparently that's creepy to some people.
Okay, at night? Yes.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't know, but I feel like even in that, the Lord was like, because I'm way more prone to anxiety than chill. So the fact that I just never felt like, I was like, I feel absolutely
safe.
Which
is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy.
It is.
You would think.
It is.
But it was always like creepy when Champ would be staring out the window and you're like, oh my God, do you see somebody? I don't see. Like, do you feel somebody?
Yeah, I think he just does that when I'm gone. Like, I think he's probably like, is she out there in the yard? Because he really doesn't like do that like here. Like, he's done it once or twice. And it is creepy. Like, I'd be here watching TV or something or doing something, and then he would like in the middle of the night get up and start barking at them. I'm like,
no, absolutely like, there's a man
watching me right now.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, it's fine. My life is pretty uninteresting. He's going to get bored. He's going to leave eventually. He's just going to watch me sit here and scroll through something.
Yeah, no, but I love this house. That's crazy.
Yeah.
God is so good.
He's very in the detail. And I'm not like a materialistic person. It wasn't like,
oh, like the house, like it wasn't about the house. It was what the house represented. Like yeah. it just represented that the Lord, like the Lord was making a way where there just wasn't like a perfect clean way. And yeah. It just was like a confirmation to me that like he had me, like it was okay for me to do what he said, even yeah. though it was scary, because he called me to it and he provided the way. Like he was like, I have everything already. Like you're not gonna lack. And it doesn't even, that's for me, wasn't even financial. It was just like the thought of like the support, like yeah. God's like care for me of like, you're gonna go where I sent you and you're gonna be well supported. Yeah. That's really what it felt like. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. But I think a lot of people need to hear that too, of like, you know, transitions are difficult.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because that's kind of what we've been talking about here on the podcast, mm-hmm. of like just transitions.
Yeah.
The episode before Omar and I.
Yeah.
It was transitions.
Yeah.
And just how like sometimes God is just bringing you into a new season. And sometimes it's not even, what I was sharing on that episode was like, sometimes it's not even physical. Sometimes it's spiritual.
Yeah. Yes.
And
a shift in your spirit.
Yeah, like, in your maturity, yeah. and your faith. And so, but it's good to see the other perspective of like, some transitions are physical.
Yeah.
And they are. Sometimes you need to move states over.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a new community, a new yeah. church or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of people need to kind of just hear that, where it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in the sense of like encouraging people to just like, oh, if you start feeling off a little bit, like to
no,
just
no,
pick
no.
up and move.
No.
Because you also still want to do things in the will of God.
And, absolutely.
And you don't want to move out of the emotion.
No.
That's what we talk about.
And we have so many people in this generation that move by whatever is cool on Instagram, whatever is like, I'm just going to pick
the
up and do this.
Yeah.
And no, you know, luckily I always tell people like, when it gets hard, stay.
Mm-hmm.
Stay, because it's like, we are not called to, like, emotions can be indicators, but they are not like, and I've heard this is not my own thought,
yes.
but they're not trustworthy leaders.
Yes.
Like, you know, we're not meant to be led by our emotions. Like, of course, when we start to feel certain things, we can bring that to the Lord. And it's like,
bring
God,
it into prayer. Yeah.
Yeah, reveal to me, what is this indicating in my life? Is it like me?
Is
Am I
me?
In the wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, no, like, you know, you don't leave because things get difficult. Like you know, just staying true to being truly obedient. If God is calling me here, I'm going to weather the storm.
Yeah.
If I am where God is calling me to be, and it's not to say like I mentioned, I didn't transition out because things were hard.
Yeah.
Things had been hard. And I, for years, you know, I felt the delight of like, this is where God wants me. And even mm-hmm. in the difficult, messy seasons, like I was exactly where I needed to
yeah.
be. And then when that changed, he made it very evident. And I'll even say, to add a little, because we're talking about transitions and being obedient to the Lord. As I mentioned, it was the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
And when COVID started hitting, like I had, mind you, I had already been prepared. I knew the summer of 2020. No, I'm sorry. The summer of 2019, I already knew I was moving. The Lord had confirmed it. And I was
yeah.
like, okay, now I'm going to take a year, save up, make plans, start shipping things and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the pandemic hits a few months in
yeah.
and everything I thought I was sure about, I was like, is this like the
yeah.
Lord? Like, what's happening? I have no
Are
idea.
Are you stopping me?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what's even going on in that state as far
yeah.
as like, am I even going to find a job? Like, all these like uncertainties. And at that time, I had started like dating this person,
mm-hmm.
this man, it's a man, not just a person. But so, and he was like, he was a godly man and very different from people that I had encountered before. And
was
I was
it
like
here or over there?
It was in Alaska,
in Alaska
right before, it was like the year that I was going to move here. And I thought to myself, like, this seems to be going pretty well. Like, this is a godly man. Like, I have a secure job here. Like,
yeah.
So I brought it, and I remember I had a mentor like tell me like, hey, like, are you sure this is the right time? Why don't we like pray about it? Like, let's just see if
mm-hmm.
So I was supposed to get here in July 2020, and I pushed out my flight a month, and I was like, let me just figure out, like, and I prayed about it, and there were two things I was concerned about, was job security, and I was like wondering, does this relationship have potential? And I remember we had like a disagreement, me and the person I was dating, you know, some like a little bit of a
yeah.
like our first like, oh, this kind of feels uncomfortable.
Intense moments of fellowship.
Yeah, intense moments of fellowship. And And I remember we like talked it out and we were like, hey, like, you know, it worked out. We reconciled. It felt great. And I went back home and I was like,
didn't feel right.
It did not feel right. That was it. And at that time I was like, God, I can't. Like, I prayed and I was like, if it's not for, it's not for me, have him end it. Because I was like, I don't think I can.
The prayer, that literally prayer.
I was like, I don't think I can do it. Like, I, so, but I was like, it doesn't feel right. Like, I remember telling the Lord that. It was like,
relatable.
It, in the outside, it looks good, but it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And the guy texts me like the day after and he's like, hey, you want to hang out on whatever day? So we hang out and he was like, Jessica, I just wanted to say something. He was like, I went back home and I prayed that day and something didn't feel right. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'm talking 3 days after I made this prayer and we didn't, that's we weren't crazy. Like we reconciled. There was no, you know,
it didn't drag out.
Nothing. No, it didn't drag out. We were fine. But I was like, this is the Lord. And the second thing was, I was worried about my job. Yeah. And I was like newer in the field that I'm working in. I had just graduated college. So it's not like I have this seniority where I could just ask them to, you know, so I felt like after that happened, I knew it was the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I put in a 3-month notice, which everybody advised me not to. They were like, Jessica, 3 months, they're going to like fire you on the spot and be like, 3 months is crazy. We're not going to wait. Yeah, it was crazy. But I was like, no, I want to support them through the summer and let them know at the end of the summer I'm moving. Yeah.
And which is also nice.
Yeah, it was. That's how I've always been. But everybody's like, that's not wise. Like, that's not in your best interest. Like, you know, you're going to. But I was like, listen, this is what I have in my heart. I'm going to do it. You know, I do have that about me that when I have something in my mind, I'm like, I'm doing it this way. Yes. This is how it's going to happen. Pro and a con.
Yeah.
It's a weakness and a strength. But yeah. And then so the person that my supervisor at the time, she was like super like upset. Like, I was like, oh, my God. When I saw her face, she was not the most easygoing lady. But when I saw her face, I was like, she's going to say bad words to me. Oh, she's going to say non-business terms to me. Like, and she was like, well, thank you for letting me know. Like, she was really standoffish. Mm-hmm. And the next day, she gets on another meeting with me. I'm like, here we go. She's going to fire me. Like, I was like thinking. And she's like, Jessica, what if we offer you like a position to work remotely from like the state of Massachusetts? I'm like an entry level position. Like, this is not a position like that it's specialized. No, nobody was doing that in that company. Nobody was working from a different place except a few engineers that we had that specialized, had certain certifications. Nobody, no admin, no staff, nothing like that.
That's crazy.
It was like out of nowhere. And I'm like, I was just there like, do not cry. That's not like accepted in this kind of field. But I was like, I'll think about it. It was a blessing. It was a big blessing. And I knew, I was like, this is just the Lord. Like, it's not, I'm not making this up, you know, and it's, and I waited. Like, I didn't pick up and move and do things like just, you know, what did they say? Like, I didn't just wing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I waited and I took the word that the Lord gave me and I prayed about it. I waited for confirmation from things I asked him and from people that were my leaders. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't leave where my leaders were like, we don't think this is best. Like, we don't like, you know what I mean? And so that just all around, I feel like it's important that when it comes to a transition, like, the people around you feel it.
Yeah.
The people around you, if you're doing community right, and if you are, you know, if you're doing community right and you're submitting yourself in a healthy way to the people, the leaders God has put around you, like, it's going to be a consensus. Like,
absolutely.
It's going to feel like, you know what? Like, it's sad, but we feel it too. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what even happened with me with like the youth ministry. And stuff. Like, it's so sad because I've been with them. I was there with them for like 5 years. But when I had brought up that conversation, we had that meeting, and I was like, God, you know, if this is you, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, no, we felt it too. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's, yeah. Yeah. That's the feeling. You're like, oh, thank God it was the spirit, not the flesh. Yeah,
literally. Yeah. So, and it's hard because when you're doing something for such a long time, mm-hmm. and, you know, those are your people, you get comfortable.
Yes.
And
it's that comfort.
It's that comfort. Comes for you. So, I'm glad with, you know, the way things turned out, and that's awesome. Like, your whole story is just very inspiring. And then, you know, you got married about a year ago. Because it was August.
Yeah. Yep. August was our first year anniversary.
August. So you got married. Yeah. And which that's a whole other story. We could get wrong into two, that. But that's another episode, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So you got married and now you live in this beautiful home with him.
Yes.
And the boys are out right now. So
yes, I know they are actually. That was unplanned, but it worked out.
Well, I told Omar, I was like, well, I'm going to be recording with Jessica. So why don't you just like ask Gaston? Like,
yeah.
So he's like, oh, yeah, that's kind of smart. Yeah. So anyways, but just crazy the way like life works and kind of just like falls into place and the way that God does things. And obviously it's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that in that transition, you know, it wasn't the end. It was like just the beginning.
Yeah.
So I think this is just an encouragement and a word for many people that when the Lord is transitioning you, that, you know, it's not for your desire, but God always works everything out.
Yes.
And what you were saying earlier, you know, he works everything out for those who love him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I'm just glad. Like, this was so good.
Yeah. And you said it yourself, like, obedience, there's no, if I had to give somebody like the advice of like, if you're in a transitionary period, you feel like the Lord is calling you, like the first thing you have to know is that there is no glory in obedience.
Absolutely.
Like there is no, yeah, like if you're expecting that your reward is gonna be whatever, like, you know, I'm gonna do this and the Lord's gonna give me this,
yeah, don't even bother.
Do not bother. You're gonna be very disappointed. But the reward is it's twofold. One, like you said, obedience isn't for us many times. Like our obedience to God affects generations, whether or not you believe it.
Yeah.
It will affect the people around you. It'll affect the people that are watching you. It'll affect the people God's calling you to. It'll affect you as well. But a lot of times obedience is not about what's beneficial for me. And it's really about what's beneficial for the kingdom and for the work and the will of God to unfold. And so that's the reward, like that's the satisfaction and the delight is, you know, align your heart in such a way where your desire, of course we're human and we're always going to wrestle with our plan, what we wanted, our ideal life and what God has for us. But when you truly put yourself in a position of like, my life is yours, like you can actually do whatever you want with it, like this turned out for me. But if God would have been like, yeah, so you're gonna move to Massachusetts and live under a bridge, like, I mean, I would have been like, all right, Lord, well, here we go, you know what I mean? So it looks different for everyone, whatever. That's an extreme example, but it's just meant to say, like, the reward is not in the things or in whatever you feel like seems, you know, like in and cool, like, you know, we have like social media, which totally skews our perception of reality. And unfortunately, a lot of times, spirituality.
Yeah.
It, you know, you get some really, you see some things out there, some content that it's like, that's not the reality of this gospel. Yeah. This gospel is not
like condemnation.
Yeah. Like, or it's like, it's not personal gain. Yeah. Like, it's not about what, you know, all the cool things the Lord is doing. Like, it's actually long suffering and it's actually giving up my will for the Lord and living so that the Lord's glory will be shown in my life, you know what I mean? And if that costs my comfort, like we were talking about, or what I thought was the right thing, it's gonna be worth it for the glory of God and not necessarily for what, you know, looks or feels right all the time, you know?
For sure.
So, and there's a song, copyright, I won't say what the song is, but it has this line.
Copyright?
I was like, I don't wanna say what it is, but the line of the song says, sometimes the hardest thing and the right thing are the same. And I think as Christians, I don't think it's a Christian song, but as Christians, we got to acknowledge sometimes the hard things are the right things and
so
we're not a fan of them, but it's what the Lord is calling us to. So that would be the encouragement. Get your heart be in the right place.
That's awesome.
Okay, I'm done. It's been a while. Like, I don't know how long this is, but we're done. We did it.
We did this one. Yeah. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you for being on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me, for allowing Champ to be a part of it. I was worried about doing it here because I was like, Champ, he can be, but.
Oh, no.
Thank
That's
you for
what editing's for.
Yes. All right.
But all right. Well, we love you guys. Thank you for joining.
This
Thank you for tuning in. I will see you guys on the next episode.